When God wants to express his love for his people, he often does so with food. That's kind of nice. When God wants to express his love for his people, he often does it with food. So in the Garden of Eden, the place was filled with good food for Adam and Eve. The prophets throughout the Old Testament are constantly illustrating the kingdom of God with pictures of feasting, with lots of chocolate. If you know Bishop Frank. The final book of the Bible depicts the consummation of all things when God finally puts everything right, and God depicts that event as the marriage supper of the Lamb. When God wants to express his love for his people, he often does so with food. Well, this morning, Jesus wants to express his love and welcome to this unnamed foreigner, and he does so by inviting her and feeding her from his spiritual table. That's the way it's described. So we're going to look at that. If you would, open to Matthew 15. It's in your bulletin. You can follow along, but we're going to kind of walk through the passage together, and so you'll definitely want to have it open. We're going to look at the experience of this woman and the way that Jesus feeds her, even a surprising way. Matthew 15. So starting with verse 21, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. So to begin with, it's important to just note that Tyre and Sidon are code names throughout the Bible for, if you will, pagan land. Jesus goes out of his way to enter Gentile territory, meaning not the people of God, to enter Gentile territory, but specifically to an area of people known for their pagan practices. Jesus goes out of his way to enter an area filled with strange sacrifices, wicked paganism, idolatry, and not welcoming to the people of God. Jesus walks dozens of miles to enter unforgiving pagan land. So verse 22, so he's in that place, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. So a Canaanite woman, so Tyre and Sidon is pagan land, Canaanite emphasizes even more. The emphasis here is on specifically where she's from and what people group she's a part of. The Old Testament, Canaanites were the people groups who stood for idolatry and wickedness. God's people were supposed to completely drive them away and were not allowed to have any interactions with them at that point. Israelites viewed them as dogs. And Jesus leads his disciples off into pagan land, and here comes not just a Gentile, not just a foreigner, but one who's specifically noted as being Canaanite. One who represents all that is idolatrous and opposed to God. And here she comes to Jesus. So what's going to happen? If you don't know the rest of the event, if you just stop there, what's going to happen? See, we've seen throughout the gospel that whenever people come to Jesus in faith, he always helps. But something's different in this scene. There's this question that immediately rings in the air if you read it slowly enough. Will Jesus respond to the faith of this outsider? To the faith of sort of the ultimate outsider. She's a Gentile. In this culture, it's important that she's a woman. She's a Canaanite dog, the way people would have thought of her. And as she comes to him, he sits in silence, at least for a moment. So continuing, verse 22. And she was crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. So she's in a place where demonic practices were common. And evil forces and spiritual forces are real. And she's experiencing the terror and the reality of what that means. Her daughter is being tormented, being oppressed. Demonic forces that have been invoked were terrorizing her daughter. And she comes crying out, or it could mean screaming, for mercy and healing for her daughter. She comes to Jesus, interrupting, yelling at the top of her lungs, screaming. Her daughter is in a life-threatening need, and she comes just screaming to Jesus. That's what crying out means. This is not calmly coming to him and asking the disciples if maybe Jesus might have some time for her. She can't wait for that. Any parent who's trying to save a child's life won't wait for that. She comes screaming from deep in her belly, deep in her soul, crying out to Jesus. You know that kind of scream. I've sat with you in my office and around kitchen tables, and I've heard you on the phone in crisis. I've heard that deep cry of anguish. Why did this happen? God, I need you. He ruined everything. I ruined everything. I've heard the hyperventilating in pain, that kind of weeping where you just stop apologizing for the tears, when your body shakes and you have that scary mixture of pain and confusion and terror and fury, that moment when you would do anything, you would say anything, you would give anything for it to be different, when it feels like God just won't answer. And whether you go scream into a pillow or alone in the car or on the phone with a friend, you know this woman's experience. And in that place, she comes to Jesus. She doesn't hold it in. She doesn't wait her turn. She doesn't stand on ceremony. She comes and interrupts everything with her agony-filled screaming. And Jesus doesn't answer her, at least not yet. Verse 23. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." The disciples don't usually come off well in the gospel accounts. They don't see the pain. They don't welcome her in her disruptive anguish. They tell Jesus to send her away, get rid of her. She's being noisy in church. She's being undignified. She's bothering us. Would you go away? Go outside. Go wait in the hallway. We can't hear the message. Why can't you keep it together? Wait your turn. And what they say to Jesus might even mean something like, would you just heal her already so she can stop yelling? How would we respond? How would you respond if someone kept crying and kept you from hearing? What if someone doesn't know the proper way to be in church? Or if a child is squirmy and distracting? What about a person with special needs who makes sounds you're not comfortable with? Would you please go outside? We can't hear. And even if you meant it well, which clearly these disciples did not, that comment or cross look can be just enough to push someone away from Jesus, possibly even forever. What if someone like this woman comes in who's in some way different and who's living a lifestyle at odds with the way of Jesus? Now, each and every person is called to turn to Jesus. And yes, as we turn to Jesus, we're called to change and give up our sin and be ever growing in Christ-likeness and holiness. And what if a person comes into the fellowship whose past or present doesn't look like that? Will we ask Jesus or the pastor to send them away? What about a person who's experiencing homelessness? What about somebody who loudly and proudly votes differently than you do? What about someone who just needs so much? Or a homosexual couple? Or someone who has special needs and is distracting? The disciples, in their immaturity, would have caused this woman and her daughter to continue in anguish and live and die apart from Jesus. They try to get him to send them away. She doesn't belong here. Come back when you can do it properly. Send her away. She's crying out after us. In verse 24, Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's his response. Now, this is a significant theological statement. Jesus came only for Israel's lost sheep. But what this points to is the incredible reality that we see in the New Testament. We see that true Israel is all people who put their faith in the Messiah, in Jesus. All who turn to Jesus and trust in him are true Israel. And so the lost sheep of Israel are all those who haven't done that yet. Jesus knows what none of them do. Jesus knows that she's included. She doesn't get that yet, but what Jesus says is incredible considering what he does next. She doesn't know the theology at this point, but she hears him say in verse 25, she comes to him and kneels before him and says, "Lord, help me." That's a good prayer. Throwing herself on the mercy and power of Jesus, "Lord, help me." She can't go away saying she didn't try. She's giving everything she's got for her daughter's sake. "Lord, would you help me?" In verse 26, Jesus responds, and he answers to her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, he addresses her directly, and it sounds harsh, and it is, but he's pushing at her a bit. He has not sent her away. That's incredibly important. He has not sent her away. He is engaged with her. He's heard her, engaged with her in a way that no one else would. And he says, "The kind of healing you're asking for is for the family, not for dogs." Remember, they called Canaanites dogs. He deliberately changes the word and uses a more friendly word that would be like house dog or house pet. And so in using the term house dog, he intentionally makes a difference. So there are outdoor junkyard dogs that roam the streets, you know, filthy, mangy dogs. And that's the term that everyone else would have used of her. And Jesus specifically uses a word that brings her into the house. And that is earth-shattering at that time. It may not sound like it does to them. It might not sound like that to us. But he is bringing a Canaanite into the house. Not an outsider, but in the home. Even in the people of God. It's subtle, but she picks up on that, and she will not let him go. And so verse 27, she responds, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And there it is. Jesus has got her. He's pushed, he's guided, and now she gets it. She comes to him as Lord and Master, looking for to him for the family food, for the family provision of healing. No dog would receive such a thing, and Jesus welcomes her into the house, and now you even get table language. In verse 28, Jesus responds, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. She gets what she needs. What Jesus planned to give her all along. He guided her to a place of understanding. You're not a dog. You're welcomed into the house and then fed as family at the family table. Because this healing is not table scraps. That's the whole point. He says that healing like this is what the family receives. And she comes to him and calls him Master and Lord. She puts her faith in him to heal and save, and she's welcome to the family table. No one but Jesus was comfortable with that. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "To all who did receive Jesus, who have put faith in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." She came hoping for at best table scraps. But she receives so much more. She arrives, if you will, a Canaanite dog, and she leaves an adopted child of God. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to come to the family table. And whether you're coming today in excruciating anguish or in remarkable joy, all who trust in Jesus, who put our faith in him and receive him as Lord, are received and welcomed as his beloved children. And today in the communion liturgy, we're actually going to use a prayer modeled after this woman's experience called the Prayer of Humble Access, of her coming in humility, not believing she earned anything from God, but coming in humility and trust, throwing herself on the great mercy of Jesus. So today, will you throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus? For you, today may mean that you're facing a medical diagnosis, and will you come to Jesus and pray for healing and strength? For you today, throwing yourself on Jesus' mercy may mean taking extra time in honest confession for sin. In Jesus, all of God's adopted children are forgiven. And as his children, we are always called to leave any and all sin behind. We're saved by his grace, which we receive in faith, just like this woman did. And we are always called to more holiness in life and following the way of Jesus. Will you throw yourself on his mercy, asking for forgiveness? For you today, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, will you become a child of God today? Talk with me or one of the pastors, and we will happily walk you through that. You can leave today a child of God through what Jesus has done. Will you throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus and receive the gift of being welcomed to the family table? See, this woman comes in excruciating agony. No one wants her here except Jesus. And Jesus wants you here too. And he pushes at her in order to get her to understand her place as a child of God, which she can receive in faith. And when she finally does leave, not sent away, but rejoicing in God's healing, when she does finally leave, she leaves as a family member in God's house. You too are invited to know and experience Jesus' love and welcome and healing. Will you throw yourself on his mercy and receive from him at his table in faith today? Amen.